Okay, everybody, said today's daf is daf hey. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara begins by quoting a braisa that we already learned yesterday. And the braisa begins, Gufa, minayin she'enu yichayiv ela al sheyesh bo yediya betchila v'yediya besoif v'helem b'intayim. We're referring to a chatas oyle v'yoyred, where the person is bringing that chatas because of the fact that he became tomei. And after he became Tomei, there was a Helam he forgot. What do you forget? That's really Machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rebbe. What is that Machloikis? According to Rabbi Kiva, the only thing that he forgot was that he was Tomei. And what did he do when he forgot he was Tomei? He ate Kodshim. Or he forgot he was Tomei and he went into the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the only two circumstances, says Rabbi Kiva. Als yediyas hatumah, he would bring a korban oil of the yard. Rebbe says, no, it's not just a helam of the tumah, it's also the helam of the kodshim and the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, he knew fully well that he was tameh, however, he didn't realize that what he was going to eat was kodshim. Or he didn't realize that there is an isser in eating kodshim. And or he realized he was tamei, but he forgot that this is the Beis HaMikdash, or didn't know that there's an isser to go into the Beis HaMikdash when he's tamei. Anyway, a machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rebbe, as we said yesterday, our Mishnah that says that when it comes to yediyas hatumah shtayim shein arba, this is going according to Rebbe as well as Rabbi Shmuel, but not according to Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva says that when it comes to the bringing of a chatas oyle v'yoyred, you only have two helams, you don't have four helams. So it's only, you'd have to say in the Mishnah, yediyas hatumah shtayim, but no hein arba. The fact that it does say hein arba, that goes aliba de Rebbe, as well as Rabbi Shmuel that we had yesterday. So now the question is, where do they learn their halachos from? So they both learn it from the same psukim. Zog de yomara gufa minayin shein achayiv el al sheyesh bo yediyah betchil v'yediyah besof v'helam b'intayim. How do you know that that's the only time that you go and bring your carbon oil of the yoyred at yediyas hatumah? Talmud lo yimar v'nelam v'nelam shnei pa'omim divir Rebbe Kiva. Now where does it say v'nelam v'nelam shnei pa'omim? So if you have the Torah or HaSholem, you have the v'nelams, two psukim back to back. It says at the end of Parshas Vayikra in Kapitel or in Perek Hey, Oy nefesh ha-shetiga b'chol dvar tameh. He became Tomei. The Nela Mimenu. And then it became hidden from him. Any other Tomas Odom. The Nela Mimenu. What does he have to bring? A carbon oil of the yard. So notice it says Vinelam twice. Vinelam in the first part, Vinelam Mimenu. And then once again, Vinelam Mimenu. So what does Rabbi Kiva learn from these two Vinelams? So Rashi explains, that's not Rashi over here, it's Rashi on yesterday's daf, where we quoted this price initially, says Rabbi Kiva, from one Nelam I learned the din of Helam Tuma. How do I learn Helam Tuma? Because the first Nelam it says, Vinelam Mimenu, Vuhu Tamei V'yashem. So what was the Helam referring to? Only to the Tuma. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiva, there is no din of bringing an oil of v'yoyed if there was a helam mikdash or a helam kodshim. Only if there's a helam v'hutame v'yashem. Oh, there was a helam tum. That's the only time that you bring your oil of v'yoyed. What do I do with the second v'nelam? That second v'nelam explains Rashi, because it says, v'nelam mimenu v'hu yoda. I take the words v'hu yoda, and I insert them prior to the word vinelam. Why do I insert them prior to vinelam? Because it's telling you, vinelam v'hu yoda. He knew at one time, and now it became nelam. Says Rashi, we don't need, according to Rabbi Kiva, that v'hu yoda means post the nelam. He became aware of the fact that he ate kodshim or went to the Beis HaMikdash Batuma. Because that's obvious. What's obvious about it? Otherwise, why would he be bringing a carbon oil of yoyred? It must mean that he knew that subsequently that he made a bubu. So I don't need v'hu yoda v'yashem. Instead, I take the v'hu yoda v'yashem and I insert it prior to the nelam. And I say, he knew that he became tamei. And he knew that this is Kodshim, and knew that this was Beis HaMikdash, but Bishas, the time that he violated this din, he was Nelam Mimenu. It became hidden. He forgot. Oh, so what's the din in those circumstances? You got to bring Oil of the Earth. So bottom line, according to Rabbi Kiva, I'm using one of the Nelams to tell you, Helam Tuma, Vloy Helam Mikdash, and I use the other Nelam to go and tell you the simple din of you have to bring a carbon Oil of the Earth if it was Yediyah, Nelam, and second Yediyah. Div Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Oimer, Rabbi says, Einoi Tzarech. I don't really need the two Venelams the way you've constructed it. Because Harihu Oimer Venelam Mechlal Shiyoda. Anytime it says Venelam, by definition it means that he lost it, he forgot it, it became hidden to him. Which means at some point he knew it. So I don't have to go and say Vuhu Yoda Venelam. He knew it and then he became Nelam. Implicit in the word Venelam is he knew it. It's as if I remember in the good old days when I was in yeshiva, there was a bucher that was called upon by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said to him, "Nu Yanka, what's pshat in the Gemara?" Hey, Rebbe, chafagesen. Rebbe said, "If you would have learned it the first time properly, and you would tell me chafagesen, okay, we all forget." Chamoira, he said that you didn't learn it the first time, so you didn't forget it because you didn't yesterday. You didn't pay any attention, so therefore you didn't forget it. So the fact that it says venelam, which the Gemara is interpreting now to mean he forgot, so that means that he knew it all one time. So that being the case, Mechal Tishyoda, the word Venelam already is implicit, that he knew it already before. And then the Pasuk again says, Vuhu Yoda. What is that Vuhu Yoda coming to tell you? Harikan Shtei Yediyos. It's telling you the Yediyah B'tchela, which doesn't say Beferish, but that's Mela, because it says Venelam, must mean that he knew before. There's a Vuhu Yoda at the end of the Pasuk, Venelam, Mimena Vuhu Yoda V'yashim. So I have a Yediyah B'tchela, and I have a Yediyah B'sof. And I've only used one venelam to come to that in conclusion. In Kein Matam Aloimer, venelam, venelam. Why did it say venelam twice? You see, the Aleph, the Bachi adds venelam a second time, which is, by the way, the same girsa as we had yesterday in the Gemara on the second line of the Amid Beis. In Kein Matam Aloim, venelam, venelam. Why did it say venelam twice? L'chayiv al-helam toma v'al-helam mikdosh. Ah, so Rebbe uses the fact that we have venelam twice to go and tell you there are two types of halamas. There's a helam of tuma that he forgot that he was tamei, and he ate kodshim, he went into the Beis HaMikdash. And I have the second helam to go and tell you that even if the helam was on the mikdash, meaning that he knew that he was tamei, but he forgot that he's entering the Beis HaMikdash or that he's eating kodshim, that's also a cause for bringing the carbon oile the yard. Yes?
In the Mishnah, we had the case of ein bo yediyah b'tchila yeshiv yediyah b'sof. In that case, there's no Yediyah, halama yediyah pattern. Someone never knew they were tamei.
Correct.
And so, how can Rabbi say that there is a yediyah?
By the fact that it says venelam.
Right.
So, guess what? So, Gemara is going to ask that question, not from our Mishnah, but from two other parallel type of cases. Omama, venelam mechlal shiyoda. My mashab. Where do you see in the word venelam that it means that he knew it one time and he forgot? Omarova midloiksiv vihi aluma mimenu. Because it uses the term venelam and it doesn't say aluma. Now, what's the difference between venelam and aluma? The word aluma is an adjective, and it's saying that in terms of this parsha of tumah and of eating kodshim, etc., the aluma, it is hidden from him. If it would say these words, the aluma menu, it would mean possibly that it was hidden from him from square one, from A to Z. In other words, he never had any knowledge initially. Only later on did he find out, oh, yeah, I didn't even know that I was tamei. My wife told me, my friend told me, I didn't realize. Or that he didn't realize that he ate kodshim. It was a total helam. Helam means he was totally in a fog. He didn't know anything from the very inception. That would be an aluma, because that would be an adjective telling us what the situation was. On the other hand, venelam is a verb. And venelam is telling us that at one time he did know venelam, and it became hidden from him. If he knew it, if he didn't know anything previously, he wouldn't say venelam and it became hidden, because it was always hidden. So the difference between the taicha, the word venelam, and aluma is whether or not venelam, that at one time he had a yediyah and now it became hidden, a verb, venelam, it became hidden, or the aluma means that it was always hidden from square one. So therefore, says Rava Pshat in Rebbe, How does Rebbe know that vanilla means machlal shiyada? Because otherwise, it would say vihaluma mimena. Omli Abaye says, I have two other times in the Torah where it uses the term vanilla, and l'choira, it's not susceptible to your pshat rov. Where those two times? Time number one is by soita. Now, what is this pasuk saying? If you look at Torah Ora Shalom number 3, or Gimel, v'shachav ish oisa shechva zera, unfortunately, and a stranger went and lived with that person's wife, in other words, committed adultery, v'nela me'ene isha, and then it became a nelam from her husband, v'nistera, and she once again went behind closed doors, v'hin nitma'a, the aid ain't bond, there are no aidim, at least you don't have two aidim. The healing is basa, and then what does he do? Since the husband doesn't know, he made a kinoi, made a stira, and he takes her to the koyin, to the base of Middash, to give her the mayim hamar. So now here too it says the word vanilla. And therefore the Gemara is going to lechoyra say machlal da haviyoda meikara. Sounds like he knew that his wife unfortunately sinned with someone else. I mean, that's the lashon pasuk v'shachav ish oisa shechva zera, and v'nelam, and then he forgot about it. Now says the Gemara, that's no good, because if you're telling me that he knew at one time, again based on the way Rav is learning, that v'nelam means there was a yediyah, and the yediyah over here was about the shachav ish oisa shechva zera. If he knew that she lived with someone, immediately that husband should have put up a big sign for himself, don't enter into this bedroom ever again until we know what the truth is. Why? Because if he wants to go and test her with the Mayim Hamorim, he has to be Menuka Me'ovai. Menuka Me'ovai means that he did not live with his wife subsequent to her living together with that stranger. And so therefore, says Imara, the way you're learning, says Abaye to Rav, that vanilla means mechlal da haviyoda meikara. He knew about it, that she lived with someone. I haviyoda, if in fact he knew that she lived with someone, mi bodkul amaya, would the waters of the mayim amorim work? Would they be effective? Ay votanya, don't we have a brisa? V'nikaho ish me'ovoin vo'isha hahi tiso as avoina. What do I learn from that pasuk? What means v'niko ish me'ovoin? Bizman sho ish menuka me'ovoin. If the husband is mukam yoven, the oven that we're talking about is that he did not live with his wife post her living with a stranger. Then am I boikin as ishtoi? Ben eina ish menukam yoven. If in fact he did live with his wife, then eina mayim boikin as ishtoi. So therefore, that undermines the whole pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk says vinela mi eini isha. What does he have to do? The next pasuk says he takes her up to Yerushalayim for the Mayim Hamorim, to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Koyim, to go and administer the waters. Yeah, but if you're telling me the vanilla means that he knew that she lived with someone, and then he subsequently lived with her, so then the whole Mayim Hamorim are no longer effective. They no longer will show whether or not she's innocent or guilty. Because with manch ish menukam yavoin, ha-mayim boikin as ishtai. If he's taken noki, boikin. But ain't a ish menukah miyomid, if he's not menukah, ain't a mayim boikin as ishtar. Now, truth be told, that this pasuk doesn't say explicitly that he lived with her. All it says is that he knew that she had lived, at least he suspected that she lived with someone, mishachav ish oitzu sheikh vazera. Benelam ain't a isha, and subsequent to that, he forgot about it, and therefore, what did he forget?
How could someone forget about that? Like, if your wife is, it's not easily...
Exactly. But it's not that he actually witnessed it. If he actually witnessed it, then there's no purpose in going Mayim Marim. Exactly. Case is closed. Here we're talking about he suspected. He had given a kinoi, a warning, and now he suspected that, unfortunately, he found that she went behind closed doors, but he doesn't know what they did behind closed doors, whether they were saying tilim, or whether they were preparing for the next biker choylem luncheon or drive on the internet, or unfortunately that they were doing masim asher lo ye'osu, they were engaging in nefarious activities. Mm-hmm. We don't know. So what does he do? If the nelam, had he seen, had he known, and or if they were edim, then case closed. However, since he didn't see and there were no edim, or at least there was not more than one aid, then he has to go and take her up to Yerushalayim. Now, the point of Vanela Me'ene Isha that it was hidden. What means that it was hidden? If, in fact, he suspects that she lived with someone, and he did forget, or he didn't forget, and then ultimately, Vinistra, and again she went to say, sir, and I don't know what they did behind closed doors, so what's the Vinelam? He did forget, he didn't forget. L'choyretz le'mal of le'moyret. Says the Tosis Arash, that Vinelam is going directly on that shach of Ish Oysa, that he should have put on a major a guard post, guidelines, signs, to prevent him from living with her. Vinelam, however, he forgot about it, and he did live with her. Oh, so that's what the Vinelam is all about, that he did an act between her initial act of suspected adultery, and Vinelam, he forgot about it, and guess what he did? He lived with her. And now, again, Nistra Vinitma, and I'm not sure, Eidein Bo, and we take her to Yerushalayim. Oh, so therefore, the Vinelam is talking about that he lived with her in between. If he lived with her in between, then the Mayim Hamorim won't be boidik, it won't be effective. So, Muzm Dach Zogen, that Vinelam doesn't mean that he forgot, but that he didn't know about it in the first place. He aluma mimenu. So therefore, Abai is challenging Rava. Rav, you're telling me Vinelam means, by definition, that there was a Yediyah B'tchila, and now it was forgotten. As opposed to the aluma mimenu means that he never knew about it. He was in a fog from the very outset. I see by Soita that L'chorid that shot doesn't work. Because if, in fact, he knew initially, even if he forgot in the meantime, and he lived with his wife, it makes absolutely no difference. If he went and lived with his wife, then he wouldn't be able to go and be masker the Mesoita. So it cannot be that Benella means that he knew it one time. Because if he knew it one time and he lived with her, then this whole series of psukim doesn't make sense that he takes up to Yishlai. Muzn Duch Zang Benella means that he never knew about that he lived, that there was a stranger that lived with her. And that means valumi manu. It wasn't that it's a verb. He knew, and it became hidden, but it was never known to him. He heard suspicions, but he didn't know that he, in fact, that she had lived with him. So that being the case, I show you, Rava, the Vinelam doesn't have to mean that he knew and forgot. It could also mean the alumi manu. That's Abaya's kasha on Rava. That's kasha number one. Vesu, and I have another kasha. Gabay toira dechsev. This pasuk is not in the Chumash, this is now in Eoiv, where the pasuk is referring to the Nelma me'ene kolchoi umi'oiv ha'shemayim nistara. This is referring to the Torah Kedosha, and it says that the Torah Kedosha is so profound, and it's so deep, and its value is so enormous, the Nelma me'ene kolchoi, there's no living being that has an idea about the glory, the greatness of the Torah. And even from the birds, it is hidden. The Meforshim on the Pasuk of Eoiv say, we don't mean birds, we mean even the Malachim. Even the Malachim cannot fathom the greatness, the depth, the beauty of the Torah. Zokti Yomar, by the fact that it says, the Nelma, Machal de'ika de'hava yodabe, sounds like that someone did know, according to you, Rava, the Nelma, and then it became hidden, and he forgot. Ay voksiv. In the same parish, in the same parak there, in Eoiv, it says, Lo yoda enish erka, nobody knows the erech of the Torah. It's just, rechova mina yam, nobody has any, nobody even can fathom the greatness, the depth, the breadth of the Torah. So you see that lo yoda, nobody knows, and nevertheless, the word benelam is appropriate. So that undermines Rava's argument that benelam means someone knew, and he forgot. No. Vinelam can mean that the person never knew at all. Just like the Torah, nobody ever knew the greatness, even till today. Nobody knows to describe the greatness of the Torah. And therefore, Elam Marbayis. Abaya has to modify somewhat Rava's pshat. So, Rebbe Yediyah is based Rabbi Shmo Yediyah. What does that mean? That until now we've been learning that the idea was that he knew that he became Tomei, because he touched a Nevela, Sheretz, whatever. And then he forgot, and he ate Kodshim, and or he forgot, and he went to the base of Migdish, and afterwards he realized. Ah, so that was the idea, the Nelam, that he forgot that he was Tomei, or, in the other Shehin Arba, he forgot this is the base of Migdish, he forgot that this is Kodshim, etc. So now, our Gemara says, Abaya, the yediyah doesn't mean necessarily that he has a yediyah about the incident that caused him to become tameh, but rather he had in the recesses of his mind the old limudim that he learned by his Rebbe in Cheder when he was only 5 years old, or 8 years old, or 10 years old, that there is a din of tumma ba'olam. When does a person become tame? When he touches a nevela, when he touches a dead sheret, when chas v'sholom he gets in contact with a mace, an oila mace, etc., etc. So that's the idea that we're talking about, which you might call a minimal or a flimsy idea, not a major idea, because if you ask him, did you become tamei? What makes you think you became tamei? Don't you remember you touched a nevela? Yeah. What don't you remember? Oh, you know, you're right. I remember when I was a little kid, we used to go and learn, the Rebbe would go and say, if you touched an nevela, not that he's conscientious about it today, but in the recesses of his mind, he remembers, yeah, years ago, that's what he learned, Bebeis Rabbi.
It's kind of interesting, textbook knowledge and practical knowledge.
Oh, very good. Okay. That's a nice way of expressing it. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi's about third from the top of the Yomud, Yediyas Beis Rabbi, Shlomo Beis Rabbi. He learned Bam Rebbe by the Cheder, by the Malamed, Shanegia Betum Etomei, V'hu Yoda Shehirgish Kishenoga. He knew that he stepped on something, he touched something. But he didn't really think about it with any concentration. Uy, I touched an avela, became tired. You know, he touched something. Uy, I touched a dead mouse.
An avela.
Exactly. Assuming that a mouse happens to be one of the Shemoyne Shiratzim. I took it and I tossed it and I threw it out. But he didn't think about it. Oh, but if I would have thought about it, I would have realized, yo, when I was a little kid, that's the way Rabbi Teich, the pshat, a dead mouse, a dead rat, is also considered shmoyjeratim. So that is the idea that we're talking about. How does that help us? What helps us is that therefore we don't need a solid present idea, but as you say, a textbook knowledge idea that he has deep in his mind from years and years ago. So therefore that's how you can go and learn now the two pshatim in the Soita and in the Torah. The Gabi the Soita, it's not that he had solid knowledge that she in fact had erred. He just had some idea of that his wife was straying. People were already starting to talk. At Pipute Dvorim, they were starting to chat. Then unfortunately his wife is not the tzniyistika wife that he thought when he went and married her. And then unfortunately she was susceptible to erring and to sinning. So that was the extent of his knowledge. Because of that, that doesn't prevent a husband from living with his wife. The only time he cannot live with his wife, like the Gemara said, is only if he had solid knowledge of her straying. But if it was just
Suspicions,
exactly, that's not sufficient. So that's similar to the idea based Rabbi that we're talking flimsy evidence, not that he knew now for sure that he became Tamei, but that at one time when he was a kid, he learned about Hilchos Truma V'Tayin. Same thing as when we're talking about the Torah Kedoshah. Of course, nobody knows the tremendous breadth and depth of the Torah, L'yodesh Enish Erka. But people do at least have a minimal idea of how great the Torah is. And that's what Eov is saying, that even that flimsy idea, people are beginning to forget. So, Zokti Yimor Omle Rapopoli Abaya, El Liktoni, that that we learned weiter in the Mishnah, the next case, it's really not the next case. The next case was Yesh bo yedi betchilav, Ein bo yedi besof. But what's the din of Ein bo yedi betchilav, Yesh bo yedi besof? That we said that the sor hanasa bechutz and the Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. If you're telling me that Ein bo yedi betchilav, he had no yedia. Until now we thought Ein bo yedi means he didn't realize that he became tamei. But now that you're saying that Yedias beis rabbi is sufficient, Me'ika delesla Yedias beis rabbi, doesn't everybody know? Everybody learned in the Cheder about Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. So Einoch Hanami, he may not have thought about the fact that he became Tameh because he touched the Nevela or the dead Cheretz or whatever. But Lamaisa, deep in his mind, he had textbook knowledge that he became Tameh. So every case of Ein Ba Yediyah B'Tchila is really a Yesh Ba Yediyah B'Tchila, the way you're explaining our vanilla over here. So Ibazoi, so you never have an Ein Ba Yediyah B'Tchila. Amalei in Mishkachisla, Betinik Shinijbalavain Hag Nochrim, like we call them today, the Bali Tshuva, those that never ever had any basic learning in yeshiva or in school. They grew up irreligious, secular, and afterwards, Baruch Hashem, they were zoicha to be niskar of tachas kanfi yeshchina, and they started learning. So therefore, that person taka ain't b'yidei b'chila. He has no idea whatsoever. Zero. Gunish. Why didn't he have any idea? He never learned because he was, unfortunately, not brought up in a religious Torah environment. Okay, so with this we continue on. We go back to our Mishnah about Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shehein Arba. Tanan Hossam. In our Mishnah, we just had these five words. Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shehein Arba. No more, no less. If you go to the first Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Tanan Hossam, Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shehein Arba Bifnim U'Shtayim Shehein Arba Machutz. A much lengthier description. Two Bifnim, two Bachutz. Bifnim really should be Lifnim and Bachutz Lachutz, which means the first two, the Shtayim Shein Arba, Lifnim is referring to Hachnosa, bringing something from the Rishus Rabim into the house. You have Shtayim Shein Arba, we'll discuss that in a moment. And the same thing is a case of Hoitzah. Shtayim Shein Arba, Lachutz, that you took out from your house into Rishus Rabim on Shabbos. So first thing one wants to know, Maishna Hocha de Tana Shtayim Shein Arba Besuloi, how can we only express two, which are four, means maximum four cases? Well, Maishna Hosam de Tani, why in the first Mishnah Mesach to Shabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz, where you have eight cases altogether? Four Bifnim, four Bechutz. What's the reason why we have a more expansive expression in Shabbos? And the Gemara gives us an easy answer. Hosam de Iker Shabbosu, Tony Ovis Vitoldus. There, after all, learning Masechta Shabbos, you would expect Masechta Shabbos to go and explain in greater detail the halachas involving Shabbos. Ovis Vitoldus. Hocha de Lav Iker Shabbosu. Over here, we're not talking about Iker Shabbos, we just bring it in almost as an afterthought, just to be, if you will, literary, to be poetic, that since we had Shtayim Shemshen Arba, Shvu Shemshen Arba, Yidisatum Shemshen Arba, which by both of those were one were next to the other in the Torah, they're both Machayev, a carbon oil of the Yordan. So Rabbi said, you know what, let's bring in all other cases of Shtayim Shen Arba. So he threw in Yitzias HaShabbos and Maris Negoyim, but that, this is not the place for it. It's just he brings it to collect together the Shtayim Shen Arba. So that being the case, Hoch Lav Iker Shabbosu, Ovois Tani Betoldus Loi Tani. Here we only have the Ovois, we don't have the Toldois. What is the Gemara getting into now? Okay, so now we have to explain a little bit deeper. What is the Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, the Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz? Rashi touches on it, and of course the Mishnah in Masechtas Shabbos goes into much greater detail. The Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim and Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz are both cases where the Shtayim is Lechiyuv and the Arba is Leptur. What do you mean? So let's talk about Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim. In all cases, the Mishnah there, and Rashi over here, says we're talking about a Balabayis Bifnim, and you're talking about an Oni Bachutz. And it's on Shabbos. And the Oni, unfortunately, needs Challah, because he doesn't have Lecha Mishnah, he needs a piece of fish, he needs food, unfortunately. Okay, so now let's talk about Bifnim. Bifnim means that you are taking something from Rishus Rabim and bringing it into the Rishus HaYochid, because you're being machnasit, hachnosa. Okay, so there are two possibilities of the shtayim, that is, that the Oni who's standing bachutz, he has his basket, and he takes it, and he says to the balabos, or to the balabusta, I need food, unfortunately I'm very hungry for myself, for my family, here's my basket, and he takes the basket which he's holding in the Rishus HaRabim, he takes it over the shvel, over the threshold of the door, or over the windowsill of the window, and he puts it smack on the table of the counter of the kitchen, or whatever. So he does the entire act of the being oiker in Rishus HaRabim, and being machnes and being miniach in Rishus HaYochid. That's one case of hachnosa, where he is chayv. And then there's another case, where the balabas is being very gracious, and the oni is standing outside with his basket, and so the balabas says, I'll take good care of you, and he himself takes the basket, does the akira in the Rishus HaRabim, picks it up, brings it over the windowsill into the Rishus HaYochid, and he does the whole akira vanocha. So in the first case, it was the oni that did the full akira vanocha. In the second case, it was the balabas that did the full akira vanocha, and those are the shtayim lechiyuv. What are the shtayim liptur? Shtayim liptur is, again, the same case. The ani needs food, and he has the basket. And so the Balabos says, okay, hand over the basket, I'm going to fill it up with goods. So what does the ani do? He takes the basket, he does the akira in the Rishus Harabim, and he hands it over to the wind, over the windowsill. Instead of putting it on the ground, he went on the table, he gave it to the Balabos, who received it, and the Balabos is the one that puts it on the table, on the counter. And so therefore, one made the akira, one made the hanoch, and the halach is shtayim she'osu, they're both potter. They're not allowed to do the chetchila, but they're both potter. The chayiv b'di'evet, that's why it's potter avol, not b'di'evet. They are chayiv midrabanan, and that's why we say they're potter avol osir. So min ha'torah, it's got to be each one does the full akira v'hanocha. Two together, you're potter avol osir midrabanan. So that was the case where the ani picked up the basket, handed it over the windowsill to the balabas. Balabas took it and put it down. So that's one case of p'tur. There's a second case of p'tur, and that is that the ani picked it up in the Rishus Rabim, and before handing it over the windowsill, the balabas is being very gracious. He sticks out his hand over the windowsill, and he takes it from the ani. Ani shkoyech, now I'll take care of it. He brings it now from the Rishus Rabim into the Rishus HaYachid, and he puts it down. Oh, so those are two cases of p'tur, because shtayim she'osu. What's the difference between that case 3 and case 4? Case 3, the oni went and took the basket from the ground over the windowsill, hands it over to the balabas in the Rishus HaYachid. Balabas takes it and puts it down. So it was the oni that instigated, and he was the one that extended hands over the windowsill. The second case was similar, but different. Again, the oni picked it up. He was going to extend it over the windowsill, and the balabas said, no, 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 don't trouble yourself. I'm going to take it from your hands. So it was the balabas that was machnis over the windowsill, and he put it down on the counter. And therefore, those are the two cases, 3 and 4, where the hachnosa was done partially by the ani, partially by the balabas, shtayim she'asu, and their potter. Shtayim she'en potter. You have the reverse case, utzu legabi hoitza. Let's go one step further in this process. Baruch Hashem, now the balabas has filled the basket with all types of goodies. He picks it up, and he picks it up from the counter inside, takes it over the windowsill, puts it down on the ground or on the table, which is outside, and the ani says, Shkoyach, thank you very much. So the entire Akira Vanocha, this was a hoitzah, okay? So he took it out from his house into Rishus HaRabim, and it was done totally by the balabas. Then, of course, you can have the same thing by the ani, that after filling up this basket with goodies, the balabas says, ani, you see what you got. I'm going to give it to you. No, you don't be matriach. I thank you so much. The ani sticks his hands in, picks up the basket. He's oikirit, takes it outside, puts it down. And so therefore, he has now done the entire akira vanacha. So those are the two cases, lechiyuv, where the balabas did the akira vanacha, or the case of the ani doing the akira vanacha. Both of them have the same hoitzo'ah quality, taking from the Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim. What is the shtayim shein arba? Again, the same as we had before. The balabas says to the ani, okay, I've collected all the foods together. Here, I have the basket for you. I pick it up from the table, from the counter, extending it over the windowsill, and instead of putting it down, the ani takes it from his hand and says, Shkoyach, you don't know how indebted I am to you. Thank you very much. And he takes it. So therefore, it was only half of the story done by the akira, by the balabas. Half of it was done the hanocha by the ani. And then you can have the second case. What's that second case? That the balabas picks up the basket, al das, to go and extend it over the windowsill to give it to the ani. And the ani says, don't be matriach, I see you filled it up so much food, I really thank you. So after the balabas picked it up, the ani extends his hands inwards inside the, over the windowsill, takes it from the balabas, takes it out to the Rishus HaRabim, puts it on the table, shkoyach, thank you very much. So again you have shtayim shein arva, shtayim which are the chiyuv, and the shtayim which are liptur. Now in our Mishnah we had shtayim shein arva, and what the Gemara just finished saying is that the shtayim shein arva, we're only talking about ovois. So ovois, in this connection, the Gemara assumes, means hoitzois and not hachnosois. Why is hoitzois considered to be the case of the ovois? Because in the pasuk it says by the Nidvasa Mishkan, Vayitzav Moshe Vayaviru Kol B'machane Leimar, Isha Isha Layasu Oid Melocha L'Srumas HaKoydish Vayikole Ha'om Mehavi.
This is perhaps the first time in recorded history, maybe also the last time, that the appeal was so successful that people brought more than was necessary. Baruch Hashem, Shkoyach, everybody, stop. It is just too much. We don't need so much anymore. So what is that?
So Rashi says, it says in Targum, stop bringing from inside your house to outside your house.
Ah, so bringing from your house to the Rishus Rabban, that's Hoitzah.
Toshtek Befeirish in the Torah Hoitzah.
Hachnasa doesn't say, because people weren't, there's no pasuk about bringing it into the Mishkan. Of course, they brought it into the Mishkan somewhere. There was no Mishkan yet. Maybe it was brought together in a tent of some sort. But there's no pasuk. So that's considered to be in this connection what we would call a tolda.
Ah, so therefore, L'choyra,
you're very welcome. What a pleasure to have you.
Oh, so good to be here.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. So, getting back to our Gemara, since we just got finished saying that there in Masechet Shabbos, we had both obvious and told us, and that's why, after all, it's Masechet Shabbos, so we went Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz. But over here, says the Gemara, since we're only talking it as almost, I wouldn't say as an afterthought, but just to go and be poetic, and that's why we brought it in, Zokti Yomara, that's why we only bring the Ovois and not the Todas. Zokti Yomara V'Halmendu, Hasan, we're fifth line of the wide lines, Hasan V'Kishabesu Tani Ovois Todas, Hachla V'Kishabesu, Ovois Tani V'Todas Loi Tani. So only talking about the Ovois. What does it mean, Ovois? Only about the Hoitzois, not about the Hachnosois. Only Hoitzois. Very Yomara, Ovois, mind you, Yitzios. Yitzios means Hoitzois. Yitzios, Tarti Havyan. If that's the case, then we only have two cases l'chiyuv for Hoitzois. I don't have four cases l'chiyuv of Hoitzois. Only two cases. So, Frey Timur. Okay, so what's the problem? Pchitei mehen l'chiyuv, mehen l'ptur. Shtayim shein arba, just like we have over there in Masechta Shabbos, we have shtayim shein arba l'chutz. That's our case of Yitzios HaShabbos. Shtayim shein arba, two l'chiyuv, two l'ptur, like we just went through it. So, what's your problem? And we're only talking about ovois, meaning only hoitzois. Two hoitzois, the hoitzoh of the balabayas, when he did the entire akir vanocha, chayv. Second hoitzoh, chayv, only did the full akir vanocha, chayv. What shehen arba? When they split it up, that the balabas did part by doing an akira, and the only did the hanocha, like we had the two cases, like we spoke about. If that's how you're going to interpret our Mishnah, which is exactly the way we would interpret the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba L'chutz, if that's how you're determining it, I got a problem. In Masechta Shabbos, it doesn't say anything about Maris Negoim. But our Mishnah does talk about Maris Negoim. And Ma Hosam Kulu L'chiyuva, by Maris Negoim, all four of the Marois that we're referring to in the Mishnah, those are all L'chiyuv. As you remember, we learned yesterday, we're going to learn more about it on the Amid base. What means Shtayim Shein Arba? Because the Torah only gives us two ovois of the Maris Negoim. One is the ace, and the other is the Baheres. Those two, each one of them has their tolda, because we have four separate Maris. We're going to talk about this in Yomad Aleph. It's as bright as snow, it's like Shelig, or it's like Tzemer, or it's like Krumbeya, etc. We're going to see the Heichel, we're going to see Mitchem on the Amid Beis. So, Ma Hasam Kul Lichiyuva, all four of them are Lichiyuv. What's the chiyuv by Maris Negoim? So you remember we explained yesterday? It says, Hishomer benega hatzaraz, and were you to go and remove any one of these four, you're going to be over on the Isser. How do I know Hishomer is a lav? Because wherever it says Hishomer, ben v'al, ein aloises. So, just like Maris Negoim is kul chiyuv, presumably, when we're talking about Yitzias Shabbos, it's also avacha kul chiyuv. But if you're telling me we're only talking about the ovois, which means hoitzois, hoitzois are only two lechiyuv, and the other shein arba are liptur. So, lechor, there's a disconnect between the Maris Negoim case and the Yitzias HaShabbos case. Elam Rav Papa, you're right. Hasan the Ikr Shabbos Tani chiyuvi upturi, not ovois and toldus. There it says all the chiyuvim and the pturim. What does he mean? Chiyuvim ma'ininu yitzios. Yitzios tarti. Hu dehavyon shtayim dehoitzo u shtayim dehachnosa. What the Gemara is telling us is something very interesting. That even though we are quoting the same four words, what are the four words? Actually, five words. Yetzias Shabbos, Shtayim Shehin Arba. We use that term in Mesechtes Shabbos, and we use that term here by uns in Mesechtes Shavuos, but they have a different meaning. Really, what's a different meaning? Yetzias Shabbos, Shtayim Shehin Arba, over there is referring to Hoitzo'ois, Shtayim Shehin Arba, Lachutz, to Lechiev, to Liptor. In our case, Yetzias Shtayim Shehin Arba, it means two are the Hoitzo'ois, and two are the Hachnosois, and all four of them are Lechiev. Why? Because just like you're Chayiv on Hoitzo'ah from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRavim, you're similarly Chayiv from Rishus HaRavim into Rishus HaYochid. So the Shtayim Shein Arba by Unz, by the Yetzias HaShabbos, is not referring to two Lechiev and two Leptor. No. All four of them are Lechiev. How do you have Shtayim Shein Arba? Two of them are Yetzias, because the Torah says the word by Yavir Kolba Machane Leimer, taking from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRavim, and that's Yetzias, those are Hoitzois. Shehein Arba are the other two, which are Hachnosois. And the Gemara will say, if they're Hachnosis, why do we call them Yetziah? Mm-hmm. After all, it's Hoitzois and not Hachnosis. And your balance sheet, and you go, hey, can't be both. Exactly. So, Frank Dimar, and that's Dimar.
Attorney General of New York State.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Elam Rapapa. Awesome.
The four of the Chiyuv.
The four are all the Chiyuv, two Hoitzois and two Hachnosis.
Of the Baal Bias.
Removing from the Rishus HaYochid
and Rishus HaRavim. And then the Ani.
Takes Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRavim. Those are two Hoitzois. And the Shein Arba is two Achnosis. That the Ani takes his basket and brings it in, puts it on the table. And or that the Baal Bas says, no, leave the basket, I'll take it. He picks it up and he brings it in.
It's really all one. It's all Akir Vanacha by one person.
100%. Well, with two people, the Baal Bas and
Ani. Either the Ani or the
Ani doesn't have to even be there, right? He just takes the basket and put it outside. The Ani is just an actor.
Baal Bas know that we're supposed to fill up this with
some people come by, but yes.
Okay, whatever, fine. You can conjure up and speculate.
Have a sign to fill in.
On Shabbos. Anyway, Elam Rapapa. Hosam Dika Shabbos Anichiv Upturi. That's Hakashtaim Shein Arba, Shtaim Chiv, Tulaptur, Hachnosa. Again, Shtaim Shein Arba, that was Lefnim. Shtaim Shein Arba Lechutz, Hoitzo, Tu Achiv, Tu Ptur. That's over there. No Ptur. So Mechiv, we might hinder one of those. Those are the Yetzias. No, Yetzias, which means Hoitzois. Yetzias Tar Tu Davia. There are only two. So what are you telling me? Shtaim Shein Arba. So Timur, Shtaim Doitza, Shtaim Nechnas. Oh, that's the Shtaim Shein Arba. The first two, Shtaim is Hoitzo. What Shein Arba? I'm going to include Hachnosa. Frey Timura, for Yetzias Ktani. Didn't you just say the word Yetzias? Doesn't Yetzias sound to you? Hoitzois, Hoitzois, Hoitzois. How you tell me Shein Arba that includes Hachnosois? Amar Rabashi, Tana Hachnosa, Nami Hoitzo, Korila. The Tana, when he uses the term Hoitzo, is not being so precise and meticulous. Any type of taking from one Rishus to another Rishus, mm-hmm. he calls Hoitzo, regardless of whether it's from Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRavim, mm-hmm. which is a classic Hoitzo, or even the case from Rishus HaRavim into Rishus HaYochid, which is not a classic, that's really Hachnosa, but that's also called Hoitzo. How do I know me mine? With none. Because when you get to the Perek in the middle of Mesechta the Shabbos, which lists all the 39 Malachis, one of those Malachis is a Moitzi Merishus to Rishus, Chayov. So that Mishnah is not telling you which Rishus to another Rishus. Me lo yaskin lekom ayil yuli. Isn't it even talking about when you're bringing it in from the Rishus Rabbim to the Rishus Yachid? Isn't that also Moitzi Rishus to Rishus? Vekakari lehoitza. And you see, it doesn't say that he's lokach Rishus to Rishus. It says he's Moitzi. Oh, so you see that the word Hoitza is appropriate both for Yetzios, Hoitzois, and Hachmas. Freitimura. What's the raya? The Dilma Kamapik Mirshus Yochel Rishus Rabim. Maybe Taka the Pshat in that Mishnah where it says Moitzi Mirshus Rishus, since he uses the term Moitzi, it means Taka literally Moitzi that he takes out from his house into Rishus Rabim. But maybe Taka Chnosa from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yochel, maybe Taka Potter. How do you know? So Kimonim Kay Nisni, if that's the case, If the Mishnah wanted to tell us what the 39th Malach is, the Gabi Haitzah, it would have said, I'm Moitim Rishus Yach Rishus Rabim. Why does it say this generic Maim Rishus Rishus? It must be coming to tell you that it really makes no difference which Rishus to the other Rishus, the Fem Rishus Rabim, Rishus Yachid, is also called Haitzah, the Kakarla Haitzah. So just like over there, the Mishnah uses Hamoitzi, even though we're talking about all cases, same thing over here, when it says Yetzias HaShabbos, it's referring to all cases. Now you're going to ask me, why is the Tana being so lackadaisical in the usage of this terminology? But Tana, I'll explain to you. Tana kol akiras chefetz mim koimai hoitzah karila. He's not really referring to or focusing on the different reshuyos. He's really referring to the object. Barry would start saying, Gavra metachevtza. See, look, vis-a-vis the chevtza until now was implanted nicely in the Rishus HaRabim, or it was implanted nicely in the Rishus HaYachid, and someone lifted it and took it out of that spot. Obviously, just lifting it and leaving it within your Rishus, that doesn't do the trick. But after that, when you took it from your Rishus to the other Rishus, or from the other Rishus into your Rishus, don't focus on what the person did. Focus on the cheft itself. Before it was nicely placed in one place, and now I've removed it from that place to another place, it really makes no difference where the new place is that I am replacing it. Whether it's Rishus Ram, Rishus Yach, Rishus Yach, Rishus Ram, all of that is called Haitzah. Ravina says, you know, your pshat, your raya from Hamoit Rishus Rishus is a very nice raya, but medaftish krichin, you don't have to wait all the way until you get to the Mishnah that lists the Lamed Tzes Malachas, which is on Daf Ayin Gimel, means after 72, 73 blot, we finally got to it. Klal Gadol, yeah. In the first Mishnah that we were just quoting on the Amud Aleph, you see it already. Where do you see it already? How does the first Mishnah begin the Masechta? Yitzios Shai B'Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. And then the Mishnah explains. You have Tia Shabbos Shein Arba B'Fnim, U'Shtayim Shein Arba B'Chutz. U'Shtayim Shein Arba B'Chutz means that you're taking it from the Rishus HaYochid L'Chutz to the Rishus Ram. So the word Yitzios Shabbos is very, very appropriate. But it says Yitzios Shtayim Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba B'Fnim, that you're taking it in from the Rishus Ram into the Rishus HaYochid. And nevertheless, the caption is Yitzios Shabbos. That's not Yitzios Shabbos. That's Achnos Shabbos. You see that the Tana, when he refers to the word Yitzia or Hamoitzi Haitza, all of these words don't necessarily mean from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Rabim. They can include, and the Gemara concludes that it does include also from Rishus Rabim into the Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, now when we get back to our mission, Yitzia Shtayim, Shabbos, Taim Shein Arba, we should not be misled and think that these are the exact same words from Masechta Shabbos, because in Masechta Shabbos, when it talks about Yitzias Shabbos, Shabbos, Taim Shein Arba, it means Taim Lechiv and Arba the other two Leptur, whether it's Befnim or whether it's Bechutz. But in our Mishnah, no. Our Mishnah, all of them are Lechiv, just like the Maris and the Goyim. And so therefore, Taim Shein Arba, Taim is referring to the Hoitzois, because that's by Avir, Kobo Machna Lemer, by the Mishkan. Shein Arba is coming to include the Achnosois. And the fact that the Tanya used the term Yitzias is Lav Davka, Mishkefet. Rova agrees to everything that we've said before. Rova just makes a slight emendation. What is a slight emendation? Rova Omar, Rishuyos Ketonim. Rishuyos Shtayim, Rishuyos Shabbos is Shtayim. In other words, instead of saying Yitzios Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, you can go and say Rishuyos Shtayim Shein Arba. What does that mean? That there are two Rishuyos Minat Torah. Where are the two Rishuyos Minat Torah? There's Rishus Ram, Rishus Yochid. Midrabban, of course, you have a Karmelis, you have a Makam Tur, but Minat Torah, you only have Rishus Ram and Rishus Yochid. Those are the only two. And what it says in our Mishnah is, in these two Rishuyos, you could have four possibilities of a person being Oiver on Hilchei Shabbos. How can you have four possibilities? Through two Hachnosos and through two Hoitzos. What have we benefited from Rava? We've benefited, you don't have to go and say this somewhat problematic teretz that Yitzios doesn't only mean Hoitzos, it also means Hachnosos. We have proof from our Mishnah, proof from the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel, proof from the Mishnah Daf Beis in Masechta Shabbos that Taka Yitzios includes Achnosis. You're right. But Rava says, I have an easier teretz. Instead of saying Yitzios Shabbos, say in our Mishnah, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim Shehin Arba. So what does that mean? That when you have a situation of Rishas Rab and Rishas Yachid, you can be over four different ways and be over the din of Shabbos. What would be the four different ways? Either the Oni made and Akir Vanocha starting from the Shus HaRabim into the Shus HaYachid. Or the Balabos, he made the Akir Vanocha starting from Shus HaRabim into the Shus HaYachid. Both of those would be Hachnosois, from Rishus to Rishus. Or the other way around, that the Oni was the one that took the basket out from the Shus HaYachid into the Shus HaRabim. Or that the Balabos took the basket out from the Shus HaRabim, from the Shus HaYachid into the Shus HaRabim, thank you, which were both case of Hoitzois. So the Shtei Rishuyois that cause four potential violations of Shabbos to Achnosis and to Haitzais. Okay, very soon. That's a different context. Good. Now this Gemara is quite straightforward. However, but it's not difficult at all. Tanan Husam, the very first Mishnah in Mesechus Negoim begins. Maris Negoim Shnaim Shehein Arba. There are two which are four. What means two which are four? We'll see in the Gemara momentarily that we mean that they're two Ovois and they're two Toldois. What are the two Ovois? Like we said before, you have the Se'es and the Beheres, and you have the two Toldois to them, which don't have a particular name, they're just Toldois. But in which respect are these Ovois and these are Toldois? In the respect of the brightness of the white, the color. Thank you. So we have four different colors shades of white. For shades, that's right. I'm like talking about shades. Yeah, well, but you're right. Okay, Tanan Asim. Maris Negoim Shnayim Shenobo. What are those? Beheres. Now, although the Torah says Se'es, Oy Sepachas, Oy Beheres, sounds like Se'es is the big guy. However, we're going to see Mitch of the Gemara tomorrow. There's a reason why Se'es really happens to be number two secondary on the list. Mm-hmm. Secondary, exactly. Good. So Beheres is Azek Hashelet. That's the brightest, the most white of all the whites. When beautiful white snow comes down before the soot of the street goes and makes it all black, initially it's white. Ah, givaldik. So that's Azek Hashelet. Shni'allah means the tolda of the Beheres. That would be Kisida Heichel. That's like the lime of the Heichel. And the lime of the Heichel, once a year, they would re-lime it. They would go and put new limes. Therefore, it didn't get old. It didn't get dusty and dirty, but always nice and bright. So that's number two. Now, number two, not number two in terms of the color. Mm-hmm. In terms of the color, was really number three. Why? Because Se'es, which is the second Av, that's Ketzem Elavan. Ketzem Elavan means white, bright, beautiful fleece on the back of Tzoyim. And the Mishnah Maseches Negoim says it's talking about that as the after a person did the shearing of the wool, what he did was then he put like a sweater around it, like you see sometimes people, you have the sweaters around these dogs when they're taking them during the winter, so to protect the warmth of the dog. He had two to protect the fleece that it shouldn't get dirty, because after all, the tzoin very often would go in mud, they would go into a swamp, they would go into marshes, they would get all muddy, so this would go and protect them. And then when finally after a month or two or whatever, the amount of wool had grown, then you would go and uncover it, and then you would go and shear it off. So that is two in terms of the level of coloration, even though we've mentioned it as number three, because we're talking about the Av and the Tolda, and the Av and the Tolda. So the Beheres is Av, is Kishalik, its Tolda is Sida Heichel, the Eis is Ketzem Lovan, and Shni'alok is Krumbeya. Krumbeya means like the white of an egg. We don't mean the white outside shell, but we mean the white membrane inside the white shell. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, shell knows.
Yeah, very good. So we have four altogether. So that's the Mishnah in Maseches Negoim. And that's the Shnayim Shein Arba of our Mishnah. We have two Ovois, Beheres and Se'es, and each one of them has a Tolda. Now, what difference does it make that we call them an Av and a Tolda? It's not like Hilchis Shabbos is a different reason, Av and a Tolda. What's the Nafkimina Av and Tolda? So explains Rashi. And as we'll see in the Gemara, it's for purposes of tziruf. What means of tziruf? Because the minimum shear of one of these white blotches that causes a person to become tamei has got to be kegris. How much is a gris? A gris is approximately
a
dime or a penny. I don't know if you can talk no more pennies anymore, so we got to talk about dimes. Fine. Anyway, that's erech that size. So what happens if a person only has a half a gris? The person is not tameh. It's not great. We have to be careful because next week there might be pisyon. It might spread. If it spreads, then unfortunately it's going to become tameh. But in the meantime, if it's only a half a gris, it's goodish. But what happens if I have a half a gris, which is azor kashelek, and then I have half of a gris right next to it, which is only kesid ha-heichol? Since it's an av and a toldedi day, the two can combine to make it into a full gris and to make the person tameh.
So if a person had half a gris, let's say, of azor kashelek,
right,
and half a gris of krumbeya,
mm-hmm,
it would not be
mitzarif. He would be tohar legamri. Exactly right. So Amar Reb Chanina. So Reb Chanina says, Man Tana Maris Negoyim, that Mishnah that we just quoted, Maris Negoyim, as well as our Mishnah, which is quoting from the Mishnah, Maris Negoyim, Shtayim Shein Arba, Toloi Krabi Kiva. It's Shtib Mishpoi Krabi Kiva. Why not? The Krabi Kiva Kiva, the Amar Zulam Alam Yizuv, Zulam Alam Yizuv. Im Kinti Harta Sid Heichel Militzarev. If, according to Krabi Kiva, then Sid Heichel is going to be left out in the cold, like a Yosem, won't be mitzaref with anybody or anything. So what does it mean when we say Rabbi Kiva holds Zula Malamizuv, Zula Malamizuv? Rabbi Kiva holds that you take the four Maris Negoim, list them in the order of the brightness of their whiteness, and each one of them can be mitzaref 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. But one cannot be mitzaref with 3, and one cannot be mitzaref with 4. And similarly, two can be mitzaref to 1, two can be mitzaref to 3, but two cannot be mitzaref to 4. Because zulam al mizu means the one that's right next to it, either on top or below, can be mitzaref.
So two and 3 are in the best position.
Two and three
are the worst position is the worst.
No, they can go either way.
I know, that's saying it's the worst.
Okay.
Makes the person tummy.
Yeah.
Exactly. It depends on your perspective. Good. So, it cannot go according to Rabbi Kiva. Why can't it go according to Rabbi Kiva? Because now, according to Rabbi Kiva, let's list the four again. We're not going to do Beharis Aza and then Sid Heichel, because Sid Heichel is really number 3. So, Beharis, that's the Aza Keshelig. It's the snow white. Aza Keshelig is number 1. Number 2, in order of brightness and whiteness, it's Kitzemer Lovin. That's the Seis. Number 3 is the Sid HaHeichel. And number 4, the lowly krumbeya. Anything which is less than krumbeya, even though it's white, is tohar. And Rashi says that's what we meant in the posik in the last week's sedra. Boyaku. Boyak means it is certainly a white blotch, a white spot, but it's kusha. That's not tummy, that's tohar. Ah, so now according to Rabbi Kiva that you have to go 1 and 2, 2 and 3, etc. And kintihar to sidheichem letzarif. Then Sid Heichel really has no partner with which it can be mitzvah for our purposes. What do you mean? What's the problem? Because since we said it's Shnaim Shein Arba, and we're saying Sid Heichel, although it's number 3, it's the Tolda of Beheres, is Bahadi Man Litzrefe. Tell me, let's go down to the details, right? No, let's not talk about the macro, let's talk about the micro, let's talk about the details. Bahadi man litzrafe, with whom or with which other half a gris can the Sid HaHeichel be mitzarev? Litzrafe bahadi baheres, should mitzarev it baheres. Now that would be logical, because baheres happens to be its av, and this is tolda. But remember that baheres is number 1 on the list. Sid HaHeichel is number 3. Ika se'es tadif minei. Se'es number 2 is in between. And Rabbi Kiva says it's got to be zulam al mizu, zulam al mizu, it's got to be one next to it. The adjacent one, not that you have to skip one. Okay, so let's hear about this ace. Let 3 go together with 2. That makes sense. That's Rabbi Kiva. Yeah, Rabbi Kiva, the Shitose, that's fine. But it's not our Mishnah, because Lav told it to Deu. Because our Mishnah, which is just a derivative of the Mishnah in Maseches Negoyim, says this is an Av and this is a Tolda. And the whole purpose of an Av is Tolda is not just to go and tell you Aves and Tolda, it's to go and be nice and to their fathers and their children. It's coming to tell you Gabi Hilchas Tziruf of Tumah. Says the Gemara, since that Mishnah says that the Sid HaHeichel is number 2 on the Beheres list, it's a Tolda Beheres, then he cannot go and be mitzarev to Se'ez, because Se'ez lav Tolda Dideyu, it's not a Tolda of Se'ez. And so therefore, number 3, which is our Sid HaHeichel, is going to be out in the cold. It can't be mitzarev with number 1, which is its Av, because it's 2 in between. It can't be mitzarev with 2, which is the other Se'ez. It's in different Av. It's not his Av. Can have a Tolda of Smith family joining the Goldberg family. These are two different families. Yeah. So it's going to be stuck out in the cold. So bottom line is, we're saying now that the first Mishnah in Masechtas Negoim, and now derivative to our Mishnah, that this Halacha Maris Negoim Shnayim Shein Abo won't stim loit Rebbe Kiva, because according to Rebbe Kiva, we don't need, and there's no purpose in Shnayim Shein Arbo, because according to Rebbe Kiva, then the Tolda won't be able to unite, Tolda of the Sira Heichel won't be able to unite with anybody, including its own Av. Freitimura, Ihochi Krim Beyan Nami. Why don't you say the same thing, not only by number 3, which is the Sira Heichel. Let's talk about number 4. 4 is the Krim Beya. Also Man Litzrafei. With which one can it be Mistar? Litzrafei Bahadi Se'ez, which is its Av, because it's the order of Minei. Se'ez, after all, is number 2. Sira Heichel is number 3. You can't go and take Krim Beya, which is number 4, and put it together with 2. It's got to be let 3 and 4 get together, which is what Rabbi Kiva said. You can.
The two toldos
of two different ovis,
but they're not mishpacha.
Exactly. So tomorrow, no, doesn't nita ze geferlich. Hai mai. In other words, your point that it's not only that Sira Heichel is on its own an orphan, but Krim Beya is also an orphan. Nish geferlich. Why? Because Bishloim Abloy said Heichel Krim Beya loikasha. If it wouldn't be for Sid Heichel, Krim Beya on its own is not a problem, even according to Rebbe Kiva. Even though Rebbe Kiva says it's got to be Zulam Al Mizu, Zulam Al Mizu. The Alpha Gav, the Krim Beya, mitasoi to Seis, even though Krim Beya is removed, not just one stage, but 2 steps from Seis, because Seis is number 2, and Krim Beya is number 4. Nishkefela, because Rachmona Omer, Vla Seis, Vla Sepachas, Vla Bahoris. Why does the Torah put the word sapachas next to se'ez? L'choida, since the whole sapachas just means a nisbach, a tolda, it should say v'la se'ez, v'la behores, v'la sapachas. That there is an inyan of sapachas, both for se'ez and behores. V'seps come to sarayim mitten, v'la se'ez, v'la sapachas, v'la behores. It's come to tell you sapachas, tfeil the se'ez. That by se'ez is a special din, that even though we're going to have to lower ourselves 2 madregas from 2 down to 4. That's what the kavon of lasapachas is. That sapachas tefil lasa'ez. Ava gav the minchas aminei tuva. Even though we have to go 2 steps. And so therefore, that would be an exception to Rebbe Kiva's general rule of zulam al mizu, zulam al mizu, that only would apply to items 1 and 2 and 3, but it wouldn't apply to number 4. Why not? Because since number 4 is the sapachas, so the se'ez,
the Torah bumped it up.
The Torah bumped it up, in, so to speak, even according to Rebbe Kiva. El Sid Heichel kasha, but Sid Heichel remains shver, because Sid Heichel is not the lowest down on the totem pole. It happens to be number 3, and it would make sense that Sid Heichel should be able to be mitzaref with number 2, but it can't. Because Sid Heichel, according to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah Goyim,
is the Tolda of the top.
Of number 1, the Beharis. The 3 and 1 can't go in it, because it's not Zulam Al Mizu. Elamai be Mitzarev to number 2, which happens to be the same.
It's different Av.
It's different Av, different Mishpocha. It's Kasha. Therefore, Sid Heichel remains Kasha. Elamachmar to Masid to Lekrebe Kiva. So you're 100% right. L'choira, I have to go and say that our Mishnah cannot shtim Lekrebe Kiva. Not for 2 reasons, both on Sid Heichel, and based on the reason of Krim Beya. Because Krim Beya, kenach vaneitz again. Right. Since it says lasapachas after lasa'ez, there I could krich one more step down. However, by Sid Heichel, there I have no explanation. I have no excuse. That Sid Heichel happens to be a tolda of Beharis, according to you, not of Se'ez. And by Beharis, it doesn't say Beharis for lasapachas. So therefore, cannot be that our Mishnah stems like Rebbe Kiva, but rather it can only go according to Rebbe or another Mandiyama.
We already had that though, that we can't go according to Rebbe Kiva.
But which case?
But that was by the other case, not by Negoim,
by the Yediyah Satoma case.
Right.
And now we're being consistent. Okay. We're saying Yediyah Satoma cannot go according to Rebbe Kiva, and the Negoim can't go Rebbe Kiva. And Nishke Farlach, Metshim. Tomorrow we'll explore further Rebbe Kiva and Zula Malami. Thank you all.